Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me for the Unveiled Christ of the World broadcast. Yesterday, I began a message entitled The Hope of Glory, which is a phrase taken from Colossians 1:27, the mystery that's been hid for the ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were talking about Jesus when, do you remember the record of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and John and James and Peter were there, and they saw his glory. He was transformed, and he was speaking with Moses and Elijah of his coming death and sufferings at Jerusalem. Well, after that moment of revelation of the unveiled Christ, if you will, the Christ of revelation, the Lord of glory, he then, in obedience, went toward Jerusalem, knowing what lay before him. And even crowds had hailed him and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. They were looking for a natural ruler. They were looking for their Messiah who would deliver them from Roman bondage and tyranny. And they did not understand the purposes of God. And so Jesus, in order for him to accomplish the Father's will, he dreaded it. He asked for the Lord to take away that cup of suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But he, for the joy that was set before him. And so he was, even though he was naturally going to Jerusalem, a place of humiliation and ridicule and tremendous suffering that we can't even comprehend, not just on a physical level, but the separation also that he endured ultimately from his heavenly Father. And there was in his heart and in his spirit that looking forward, that vision, that hope, which we are counseled to also comfort one another with these words, the return of the Lord, the ultimate destiny of you and me. If you've accepted Jesus, you know where you are headed. And if you read the Word of God, you understand the things that God has planned for those who love Him. Even though we just understand in part, the Spirit will reveal them. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But the Spirit will reveal. He will show us things to come. And so there was another Jerusalem to which Jesus was headed, another road which He was traveling. Not the Jerusalem of that present day that was filled with wickedness and hypocrites and those who were blasphemous and sinful, but a Jerusalem that was glorious, where the Heavenly Father dwells amid multitudes of angels and the redeemed, the songs of the redeemed, hallelujah, and the shouts of the triumphant, and the anthems of those who were giving glory and praise to Him on the glassy sea. And the crucifixion was on the road to His coronation, and death was just a temporal instrument, if you will, on the road to an eternal resurrection in His glorified body. Jesus will forever be altogether man and God. He took upon Himself, the love that sent Him into this world. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, is it not? That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. And so, I was thinking of a visit that Brother Glass and I had the privilege of having in the early 90s. We went on a ministry tour to various nations in Europe, and the little free time that we had, we did have opportunities see some of the magnificent cathedrals that were centuries old, that were built with love and care and the wealth that was placed in them and the artistry. And some of the most amazing things were the glorious stained glass windows. Well, the thing about stained glass windows, although I don't know a great deal about the artistry involved in them, but one never sees the true beauty of a stained glass window looking at it from the outside. You have to go in to see the beauty, to see the light come in, to the sunlight coming in through those beautiful prisms of various colors, to really appreciate what is in the artistry that is in those windows. And in one respect, it's as I was comparing the cathedral to a temple. And we are now called, is it not true, the temple of the living God? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That you, beloved, are the cathedral of the eternal. The eternal God is dwelling within you, the Holy Spirit. And I've been aware of that personally. I've become to an increasing awareness that the Holy Spirit dwells within me. Now, I've known that for decades, but beloved, you really start meditating upon that. You know, people may look at you externally, and they might see very little of beauty or excellence or anything to be, you know, noticeable in the external vision of your life. But the Christian who lives externally, you know, in a carnal fashion, they never behold the glory of the Lord in the contemplation of those things that he contacts on the outside of his life. You know, in order to really grasp what I'm talking about, and it's hard to find the words. It's in the realm of faith and vision. Without a vision, the people perish. And it's so important, beloved, that we begin to contemplate and meditate upon the things we've heard preached so often. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, beloved. If you've accepted Jesus, if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, within your spirit. And out of your spirit man can flow the power, the resources of the Holy Spirit to bring healing to your body, to bring healing to your soul, your mind, your memories, your emotions, all the wounds and the scars that we've had to experience in this natural life we live. But we've got, you know, it says in the Word that we're already seated in heavenly places with Christ. And so we need to have our vision in an eternal perspective, in a heavenly perspective, and not get so caught up with the sense realm that is around us. We, you know, for a carnal person, they just labor, they toil, they work, they struggle to do good, to be good, and, you know, they just sort of console themselves with the thought that some glad day will fly away, some radiant morning, the light will shine, and they'll see the Savior in that glad and happy day. Well, that's certainly true. Undoubtedly, you know, we, even for the carnal Christian, they surely will, but how much we've missed, beloved. And that's why the Holy Spirit wants to give us divine insight and revelation. There are those that have that vision. And that's my prayer, my desire for those who listen to this broadcast, to my UCM partners. And I pray intentionally that way, that we can learn to live internally, if you will. Those who have understood the Spirit of God dwells within their own being, within their spirit man, in their own being where Christ dwells. And we who would do this have to do it by faith alone. And by faith, though, we can begin to realize, begin to believe that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is ours. The same things that, otherwise, why would Jesus say, the same things that I do, ye shall do, and even greater things? He did what he did, not because he was God. He did the things, he lay aside his glory, his divinity, if you will, so that the life that he could live as a perfect man without sin, and to do the works of God, because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he didn't, in spite of what some of the Apocrypha says, There's no record of Jesus doing any public ministry until he is baptized by John in the Jordan. A voice from heaven sounds, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit in the form of a bodily form as a dove descends upon him. It is at that point he goes in the power of the Spirit into the wilderness, fasts 40 days and 40 nights, and wins his for a time, you know, the devil just, you know, it wasn't just a threefold temptation, which he victoriously overcame, but he left, it says the devil left him for a time. So, beloved, we are the temple of the living God. You are, and his presence dwells within you. And it is possible, I believe, that God wants us to understand, to realize, to experience that supernatural virtue, that Holy Ghost power permeating through your very being. Beloved, it's called the anointing. Hallelujah. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Jeremiah talked about it. He said, "I'm not going to do this anymore. This is too hard. I'm not going to speak in the name of the Lord." But then he said, "It's like fire shut up in my bones." And he could not withhold any longer. And beloved, that's what the anointing is like. You can still be used of God. There's no question. But there is an experience of the power of God. And if you've experienced, beloved, you know what I'm talking about. And it is the man or the woman who can look at the mountains of opposition that surround them, that confront them, and say unto that mountain in faith, "Be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done." Beloved, that is the power of God. In today's church, we've gotten so wimpy. We've gotten so program-oriented. We've gotten so preoccupied with taking the things of the world, the light shows. I was in a church once, a big church, in a major area, and I thought, my word, because I remember in the early days in our services, there'd be like a mist in the sanctuary. Now we use smoke machines. Have we come to that, beloved? I'm telling you, there is a time and a place where God's people are surrendered, where we'll be able to walk in the anointing of God, and we will see those greater works done, not just in quantity, but we will see the dead raised. That's what he said. You'll see the sick rise. We will see, you know, devils cast out in the power of the name of this hope of glory, that Christ which dwells within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I've got to stop now. I bring this broadcast to a close. I pray you can be with me tomorrow as we continue on in Christ in us, the hope of glory. Until then, this is Sister Glass. They make God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Bye. You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.